Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm delighted to be able to be speaking with Luke Reiner. He is the chairman and CEO of Kalamazoo Resources. Some of you out there may have noticed that there's been a very large announcement today, very exciting announcement. They've acquired the 1.6 million ounce Ashburton Gold Project from Northern Star over in the Pilbara. Luke, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us, because I know it's been a very, very busy day for you.
Thank you, Kerry. Yeah, it's good to be with you again. It's been a very, very big day, Kerry, but it's been quite a few months in the making. It's a tremendous development for our shareholders. We've acquired the, as you said, the Ashburton Gold Project from Northern Star. It's quite a large resource, a very good grade at 2.5 grams per tonne as well. But there's a bit of history behind this, Kerry, just in regard to the acquisition, and that is Kalamazoo was started primarily by my brother and myself about 10 years ago. And we were exploring in the Pilbara at that stage. This is when we were private, you know, well before we listed the company. And we had a lot of ground nearby the Paulsens Gold Project, which was owned by Northern Star. So I'm talking back here in 2009 and 10, I think it was. And at that stage, that was the only project that Northern Star had. It was the Paulsens Gold Project. And its second project that it bought in the area was about 200 kilometres to the east, and that was called the Ashburton Gold Project. And a company called SEPA had actually previously mined it, and they produced about 350,000 ounces. And then when Northern Star acquired it in around about 2011, I think it was, they very aggressively explored and drilled out a further 1 million ounces. So by this stage, it was now 1.6 million ounce deposit. It's a mixture of oxide and sulfide ore. And the intention of Northern Star was for that to become its second gold project. It was looking for that to be a 100,000 ounce standalone project. And it was doing a lot of work and progress on that, including on the metallurgy. It had seen that the ore, or the sulfide ore, was amenable to pressure oxidation. So they were looking at a bolt-on plant in that regard. So this was around about now mid-2013. But what happened at that stage was the gold price, which was around about $1,600 Oz, fell quite sharply, down to about $1,300. And Northern Star put the Ashburton project on hold. But it provided the opportunity for Northern Star then to go and look to acquire a number of major gold mines, operating gold mines, from Barrick and others, Jundee and a whole range of other companies. And that was the start of the path for Northern Star, and we now know where it is today, you know, Australia's second largest gold mining company. So it was a wonderful opportunity for Northern Star, but what occurred was the Ashburton project then, for the next 7 or 8 years, was kept in good standing. They did a little bit more work, but it was pretty much became very much non-core for Northern Star. It's now a tier one mining company rather than a greenfields or brownfields explorer. So that created the opportunity for us, because we'd been in the area, we were well aware of the Ashburton project. So earlier on this year, we made contact with Northern Star, and we managed to put together a real win-win transaction for both parties, whereby we are not putting any money up front, we're putting the money directly into the ground. But if we can get the project into production, we make a one-off $5 million payment to Northern Star, and then pay an ongoing royalty stream. So I think it's a really good outcome for both parties.
Let's just talk a little bit more about the terms of that agreement. When you say royalty stream, how does that work? What's the royalty stream?
Yep. So the deal is we pay $5 million once we extract the first 250,000 tonnes of ore. And then there is a 2% net smelter royalty on the first 250,000 ounces, and then 0.75% net smelter royalty on the remaining ounces, whatever that might be. And so, there's a real opportunity for Northern Star to make, a really nice royalty stream out of this. And of course, gives us the opportunity to potentially, get into production and have a very, worthwhile project for us going forward.
Has this been a long time in the making? Because you said that Northern Star had it, you know, back in 2013. We're now in 2020. That's 7 odd years. Obviously, it's been on your radar. Why now?
One of the reasons, I think, it was also started this year in COVID-19. I think a lot of companies were looking in regard to their activities and you know, it's kind of like a laser type focus. So I think the timing, you know, I'm not speaking for Northern Star, but I think the timing was right for them, and certainly was right for us as well. Just in regard to the location, Kerry, is that this project is in the Pilbara, and what we've seen, obviously, with De Grey, they've had an incredible success up at the Nelina Gold Project and Hemi. There's some other projects around the Pilbara Craton, including the Kalawinda Project, and also the Warrawoona project, and these are all, you know, multi-million ounce projects that are all look like they're going to be developed. So the Pilbara is very much at the forefront of everyone's mind in regard to exploration. So I think the timing is really good for us, and I think it was good for Northern Star as well.
Luke, if you go back a couple of years, I remember, you know, everyone was, there was talk about the Pilbara, there was talk about the conglomerates and the conglomerate gold story. And there was also talk about the fact that this was never going to come to fruition. But all of a sudden, over the last 6 months, the Pilbara seems to be the talk of the town and lots of activity up there. And you're now saying this is quite a strong place to be at the moment. What's changed?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Kerry. And it's, in some ways, there's similarities with our, you know, our flagship projects in Victoria. You need just a little bit of success, and you know, success begets success. And we've seen it in Victoria, obviously, with Kirkland Lake and the Fosterville project, and that what the impact that's had on the Victorian gold sector. Same with the Pilbara. There's never been a shortage of gold in the Pilbara, but I guess there just had to be someone who kind of unlocked the opportunity, and you know, that's where the credit has to go to De Grey. You know, it's now coming out with fantastic results, and of course that gets more and more interest, which attracts dollars, which attracts drilling, and you know, the success flows from that.
And I think, but before we finish this, I do want to talk about your Victorian projects, because it would be remiss if we ignored them. But you just mentioned people. Now, I noticed that Paul Adams is leading your exploration team. You're hoping, happy that he might, because of course he came from Spectrum Minerals and they were taken over. Great, great success with them.
Yeah, and look, we're very fortunate. So Paul's been one of our non-exec directors for a number of years. Obviously, he's been very busy at Spectrum Metals over the last 12 months. And fortunately, timing again was very good for us. I think we all know the story of Spectrum Metals and Penny West, and in effect, within 12 months, I think it was a 30,000 ounce resource became 300,000 ounce at high grade, and then subsequently taken over by Ramelius just recently. And that created the opportunity for us in regard to Paul. He was managing director of Spectrum, but that his role there finished. And because of COVID-19, you know, we're very fortunate that we've now put in place two very distinct exploration teams. We're based here in Victoria, obviously, so we're looking after Victorian projects, but then Paul is looking after the Ashburton, and he's taking the lead role in that. So the timing couldn't be better. It's given Paul this other project that he can get his teeth into. He's got very specific experience in growing out resources. So, you know, we couldn't be better led. And we're very fortunate that, that you know, he's committed to us to actually get this project off the ground.
So from a shareholder's, you say that exploration is going to commence straight away, that Paul is leading the team over there. Let's move it away from there and back to Victoria, which is where you are, and it's the South Muckleford project. Yes. What's the news down there at the moment?
Yeah, so both at South Muckleford and also at Castlemaine, which are our two main projects. We've been doing project-wide soil sampling in collaboration with the CSIRO. That's going extremely well. I think we're into 3,500 samples out of probably a 4,500 sample program. That's helping us identify, you know, gold and multi-element anomalies, which are feeding into then our targeting for our next exploration programs. You know, we certainly want to be drilling back at South Muckleford and Castlemaine this year in Q3 and Q4. Subject, of course, as always, to permitting and COVID-19, and we're very, very mindful of that. But, you know, that's certainly our plan. So it's still our main focus, Victoria, but this opportunity in the Pilbara was at the Ashburton Gold Project was too good to pass up on.
Well, a big congratulations on that one. What look, there's going to be a lot of news flow for shareholders in the future, and I just want to point out that this day a year ago, your share price was 13 cents. I think, as you said, it closed today at 72 cents. So that's a very, very nice one. You've got some options there in the money as well. So you're well funded. Yep. You've got a very strong shareholder base. What's next that shareholders can look out for?
Yeah, well, certainly in the Ashburton, we've got a lot of data we have to go through. Paul has already started the process of putting together an exploration team, and that's going to be very, very beneficial for us. So he's doing that. We'll go through it all. We'll look to actually apply some other technologies that perhaps haven't been used there in the last 6 or 7 years. Again, we may be in conjunction with the CSIRO and some geophysics and geochem works to help us identify drill targets, not just brownfields, the extension of the existing deposits, but also greenfields. We believe there are numerous targets there for us to look at, and so we'll be doing that. Mentioned what we're planning to do in Victoria as well in regard to drilling South Muckleford and Castlemaine. But I guess where we're fortunate too, Kerry, is that we're well funded. We've now got about $11.5 million cash in the bank. We brought forward $3 million we were owed by a company called Adamant Resources when we sold our Snake Well gold project. That's been brought forward to get paid this month by giving a small discount. That's good for us. Got about $9 million worth of options that are in the money. So we've got around about $20 million we would expect over the next 12 months. So we can really hit these projects hard. On top of that, we've got some good cornerstone investors. Both Eric Sprott and Novo Resources came in and took a strategic position earlier on this year. So that's very good. And plus, there's a couple of other things too in the background as well. We've got the Victorian land release, the tender for the ground surrounding Fosterville. That should be awarded in the next maybe 3 or 4 months, hopefully even sooner than that. And I think, as everyone knows, we're bid for block 3 and 4 adjacent to Fosterville. So we know there's a lot of competition there, but that would be a terrific outcome.
That would be a fantastic outcome. That's going to be a lot of good news. And having Eric Sprott and Novo as strategic investors, are they very much involved, or are they hands off? They trust you. They know you, they believe that you know what you're doing, and they just leave you alone to get on with the job.
Yeah, look, it's been very hands off. Quinton Henney, however, is one of our technical advisors. We've got to set up a technical advisory committee, primarily in regard to Victoria. So, look, we're certainly getting some feedback and input there. But, we're running this very independently, Kerry. We certainly listen to any advice that they might give. But, we're running our own show here.
Oh, I'm sure you are. But it's nice to have them on board. Yeah. Any final thoughts for shareholders that will be watching this with interest? Because there has been a lot of news flow, Luke, and first of all, congratulations. I know how hard you've been working, so well done on that. And any final thoughts for shareholders that are watching?
Thanks, Kerry. Look, we think this is a tremendous outcome for our shareholders. We're trying to improve our asset base at all times. We've now got two very distinct portfolios in both the Pilbara and Victoria, which we think are two of the hottest gold regions, not just in Australia, but probably globally at the moment. Got a lot of focus on both areas out of North America. So we're very pleased we've managed to do this. But, the hard work starts now. We've got to get out there and start drilling. And it's only drill results that create results and outcomes for shareholders. So that's our next step.
Next step, let's talk about drill results then. And so next time we speak to you, Luke, we'll be looking forward to some of those results coming out. Thank you so much for talking with us on Small Caps today.
Terrific. Thanks, Gary. See you soon.